Welcome to the Search Storage UK special report podcast on network attached storage. I'm Anthony Adsed, editor of Search Storage UK. Today's speaker is Ian Locke, storage practice lead with Glasshouse Technologies UK. Today's podcast has four questions. And the first question, Ian, is what is network attached storage?
Essentially, network attached storage is shared storage which is accessed by users or other servers over an IP network. A NAS device is a combination of CPU, memory, disk storage, NICs, and most importantly, an operating system, which can be custom built or based on cut down Linux or Windows. The operating system will typically run multiple file sharing protocols at the same time, such as NFS, SIF, and AFP, allowing connection from Unix, Windows, or Apple clients. NAS operating systems from different vendors differ in their functionality. Some, for example, provide snapshot or data replication capabilities, or integration with common applications like Oracle, Exchange, or SQL Server. Some NAS vendors design and build their appliances for the highest levels of performance, while some aim for simplicity and a lower purchase cost. NAS systems are typically made up of one or more processing units, or heads, and a number of connected disk enclosures. The disk enclosures and disk drives used by NAS systems use exactly the same components and principles as SAN and directly attached server array systems. The difference between these systems is in how they present data to the requester. A standard file server running a standard operating system, which is used just for file sharing, could be classified as a NAS device. However, a standard file server operating system runs many components and processes which are not needed for file sharing. Many of these processes, even if they are not used, are loaded into main memory, consuming cache and processing cycles. Dedicated NAS devices have highly optimized operating systems with many components which are not required for file sharing removed. This optimization greatly improves the performance of true NAS devices over general purpose file servers. NAS provides its storage at the file level. This means that NAS storage controllers must run a file system with integrated user security and file locking management so that multiple users can access the same files at the same time without data corruption. Some of the fundamental differences between NAS and SAN are that SAN systems operate over a dedicated fiber channel network, which is typically used only for storage, whereas NAS systems operate over an IP network, which can be shared with other application traffic. And SAN systems provide storage capacity at a block rather than a file level. This means that users cannot access it directly. SAN systems provide storage capacity at a block rather than a file level. This means that users cannot access data directly from a SAN storage system, which they can with NAS. A SAN array provides storage capacity to host servers, which mount SAN volumes as if they were locally attached disk drives.
Excellent. Thank you, Ian. The next question is, what use cases is NAS suited to, and which ones is it not suited to?
NAS has always been good for applications which need to share access between Windows and Unix operating systems. NAS was designed for applications which worked mainly at the file level, for example, file sharing, document management systems, or as a target for archiving solutions. NAS was not used so often for intensive block storage-based applications, for example, large databases or email systems. As the size and performance levels of NAS systems have increased, these limitations have in the main been lifted. Mid-tier and high-end NAS systems can today be used as the storage repository for Exchange, Lotus Notes, Oracle, or SQL Server systems. iSCSI bridges the gap between file-based NAS solutions and block-based SAN solutions. iSCSI is a block-based storage protocol, but the blocks are transported over an Ethernet network, where a SAN solution encapsulates SCSI commands within fiber channel frames, an iSCSI solution encapsulates those SCSI commands within TCP packets over the Ethernet. Applications which rigidly demand block-based access to their data can therefore still use a network-based storage solution, but one which uses Ethernet rather than fiber channel. Microsoft, for example, in the past mandated that Exchange and SQL Server applications had to have block rather than file-level access to their data volumes. But Microsoft now allows storage vendors to qualify their NAS storage systems against a set of defined storage access criteria for those applications.
Excellent. Thanks, Ian. The next question is, what types of advanced feature are included in NAS products currently?
NAS products can provide all of the advanced features of enterprise SAN storage arrays, such as remote data replication, online volume expansion, snapshotting, and integration with popular server applications. NAS products have traditionally been seen as easy and simple to provision and manage compared with SAN storage systems. Some NAS solutions, for example, provide the ability for users to access backup snapshots of their data themselves without storage administrator intervention, allowing users to restore their own data if they accidentally delete a file. Most of the enterprise NAS vendors provide some level of virtual filer functionality, where multiple virtual filer instances can be hosted on a single NAS device. Think of server partitioning or LPARs here. These virtual filers can be used to logically separate NAS volumes for different groups of users or maybe different applications. A new feature just beginning to emerge in some NAS systems is the ability to seamlessly migrate these virtual filers from one NAS device to another without interruption to user file access. If you're familiar with virtual server, particularly VMware concepts, the parallel here is with storage vMotion, which allows the movement of virtual servers from one hypervisor host to another without interruption to running applications. Some of the NAS enterprise vendors now have the ability to deduplicate data stored on their disks. Typically, this deduplication works at the file rather than the block level and has strong parallels with the concept of single instance storage, where the NAS operating system identifies repeated instances of the same file and removes duplicates, replacing them with a pointer to a single copy of that file. This deduplication process is scheduled to run regularly to identify new duplicate file candidates and reclaim the storage space they consume. The reclamation process does have an impact on CPU cycles of the NAS head, and so should be scheduled to run in quiet periods outside of peak operating times. This process can release 20 or 30% of the capacity of a volume which is full. A slightly different advanced feature which comes with NAS systems is the NAS Gateway, which is a head unit running the NAS vendor's operating system and functionality, which can be connected to third-party, normally SAN-based, back-end storage. NAS Gateway systems allow increased scalability as they provide access to the largest enterprise-level SAN storage systems and the highest levels of capacity and performance that they provide. The boundaries between NAS and SAN-based storage are in fact becoming increasingly blurred as vendors produce systems which are capable of presenting storage via both sets of protocols, block-based fiber channel protocol and file-based NFS or SIFS. These hybrid systems can attach to both SAN fiber channel networks and NAS-based Ethernet networks.
Thank you very much. And the final question is, what challenges are there in managing network-attached storage?
The challenges in managing NAS are largely the same as for SAN storage systems. The differences come in the method of connection between host and storage, which, being Ethernet, has more components and complexity to worry about. As users access NAS data over the corporate Ethernet network, they may be separated from their file data by slow WAN links, multiple firewalls, or multiple inter-switch hops. A slow network connection between a user and the NAS device can give the impression that the storage device itself is operating poorly, when in fact the real issue is with the overall network architecture or design. And good network design is a key consideration when implementing an enterprise NAS solution. Backup can be a challenge with NAS systems, especially those serving very large capacities. Storage administrators have two main choices for the backup of NAS systems. The first is to backup at the file level via a standard host server, which mounts the NFS or SIFS volumes of a NAS device and presents them as its own. The host server becomes the target then for a standard backup using a normal backup product. The second option is to use the Network Data Management Protocol, or NDMP, for a volume-based backup. Both methods can present issues when trying to protect very large NAS volumes. The first, host-based method, demands that the files from the NAS are processed twice, once by the host server and once by the NAS device, and also that the backup traffic travels over the IP network twice, first from the NAS device to the host, and secondly from the host to the backup server. This method can be slow and somewhat cumbersome. NDMP provides a method of dumping backup data from the NAS device to tape drives, which are directly attached to the NAS heads, either over SCSI or fiber channel. Because NDMP works at the volume rather than file level, it is normally very much faster than the host-based method. In the earliest versions of NDMP, restores could only be performed at the same volume level at which the backups were taken, and did not therefore allow restoration of single files from that volume. Later implementations of NDMP have, however, included the direct access restore extension, where a table of all the files on the backed up volume is created and saved following the volume-based backup, enabling a single file restore from an NDMP dump. An NDMP backup can be an intensive process, causing high utilization of the CPUs of the NAS heads. They should always be scheduled to run in quiet periods so as not to disrupt user access to storage.
Thank you very much, Ian, and that's the end of the podcast.